Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey, it's Gavin and Katie. Thank you so much for finding our podcast. Where'd you get it? Odyssey app? Hope so. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, doesn't matter.
We're everywhere.
It just matters that you're listening, and we love you for that. And almost as much as we love BetterHelp.com.
It's keeping us healthy in our minds.
Right. You like this podcast?
Right.
You like the giggles and chuckles?
Why do you think that is?
It's from BetterHelp.com and their online therapists. Yeah. They're keeping us from going over the edge. They keep us right on it. Listen, here is the full show. Enjoy.
I wake up smiling every morning.
The wake up call.
The wake up call.
The wake up call.
Wake up, wake up.
It's the wake up call.
106.5 The End.
I made a budget. I was a different person. Have you ever made a budget? I was at my computer just like, I don't need to eat Tuesdays. I last on the budget, I made it 3 days. That's how long I made it before I messed up. Because it's not possible. It's just not possible. I'm unmarried and I have no children. Imagine that. Imagine trying to budget when there's no accountability in your life. If I screw up and go over budget, nothing happens. No one cares.
Tuesday, August 12th, 2025. It's the wake up call. Gavin, Katie, Kevin, here we are. Hope everybody's doing well. It's funny that that comedy clip, were you able to hear it at all?
I heard it was about budgeting. I just wasn't paying attention.
Have you ever done that? Like where you sat down and you're like, I'm going to make a budget. Have you ever done that?
Oh, I have. Never followed it one time.
What a stupid thing.
Yeah.
I have, and they're not paying me to say this, okay? Even though I know you guys do endorsements and I'd love to. But I have Rocket Money on my phone.
Okay.
Freaking amazing.
Now, why is that?
It does so many different things. Like the best thing that it does is it combs through your subscriptions.
Oh, right. I knew you liked that part of it.
Love that part. And it'll even like cancel subscriptions for you that you're not using. They're like, you're barely using this
Don't
one.
You need to like know all your passwords, though?
You have to know some of your passwords. Okay. Yeah. But anyway, though, but one of the things that Rocket Money does, though, is it budgets for you, and it also it monitors your spending, and it tells you tells you twice at the end of the month and then halfway through the month to let you know how you're doing. Okay, but at the end of the month, it tells you what your total spend was. Like, how much did you spend last month? And it gives you an amount, okay. But it also breaks down where you spent all that money by categories.
Okay.
Groceries.
A lot of
leisure.
Yeah.
Okay. Stuff like that. No matter what I do, every single time when I get that readout at the end of the month from Rocket Money, I look at it and I go, well, what am I supposed to do, Rocket Money?
The times that I have had something where it's just like, here are the categories. It always ends up being, hey, fatso, stop going out to eat so much.
That's a big one.
For God's sakes.
Yeah, that's a really big one.
Yeah.
And you know what? If I, like the comedian in that clip, he was talking about, I'm not married and I have no kids. Well, then you can do it. It's so much easier. Trying to have a conversation with a spouse and children about how we should just stay in and eat.
Oh,
it's like I'm telling them, hey, everybody, we have to live outside from now on. Like, they don't even want to entertain the idea of, hey, guys, I know we all love going to Al's, you know, once, maybe even twice a week and having some pizza. We shouldn't do that. We should stay in. And what, Dad? And what? I don't know. I can make some tri-tip or maybe we could even, I could chop some veggies up and just some lean beef and brown rice. We could have a healthy dinner. And then they go over to the drawer and they get out some knives and they start walking toward me with the knives up.
Our kids sort of just take it.
Oh, God, it's great.
The only one that doesn't is the 16-year-old who, I mean, it is a chronic, we don't have any food situation.
That's what she says?
Yes. Mm. Now, does she give my boyfriend a list every week of the food she wants? And he goes to Nugget and gets all the things that she wants. And at the end of the week, by God, if most of that isn't uneaten and has to be thrown away.
You're kidding. And then she complains about having no food?
And then she goes, oh, we have nothing to eat.
Oh, my God.
I told him, stop getting her the stuff she wants.
Yeah, for real. It's like, you got to treat it like how I make lunches for my kids. I'll put stuff in your lunch. If it comes back, it's going right back in the lunchbox.
Oh, wow.
Like, if it comes back and I give you some carrot sticks and those carrot sticks come back the next day, the next day, then they go right back in the lunch. And I'll keep it up until there's nothing left. And
if they were smart, they'd throw them away.
Right. Right. That's what I would have done as a kid. Thanks, Dad. Those carrot sticks were delicious.
Oh, if my parents, man, my school lunches were horrible. They didn't give
you've talked about this before
an F about what I like to eat. It was whatever my mom made for my stepdad, I was getting that too. So if he wanted a crunchy peanut butter and honey sandwich on the thickest, grainiest, nuttiest wheat bread, just cardboard,
right,
that's what I was gonna get. And I'd open it, I'd be like,
everybody, this is the 90s. You were allowed to bring peanut butter to school back then.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And here's your Kashi bar.
And then and then one time they had a student-teacher conference or whatever, or parent-teacher conference, and the teacher said, she asks other people for their food a lot.
Just picturing little Katie just being like, what is that?
can I have just 2 inches of your fruit by the foot?
Like an Amish kid on Rumspringa. Just barbecue chip? What is that? Like you're 11 from Stranger Things.
Yeah, it was sad.
First date was great. Then radio silence. What's going on here? It's the second date update on the Wake Up Call.
We're talking to Megan this morning. Good morning, Megan.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So you went on a date with a guy named Parker, and Parker is not giving you a second date, or at least that's how it seems. Walk us through it. First of all, how'd you guys meet?
Well, we met online on Tinder, and we decided to go out for dinner. And, you know, we met up, and I felt like there was a pretty instant, connection. And so, throughout the entire night, we're having a good time, we're chit-chatting. We decided to go for a walk afterwards and, you know, then have a drink. I mean, it seemed great. We even had a bunch of comments that we said to each other, oh, we're having such a great time. I'm really enjoying the night. You know, dinner was great. And so I said I would love to do it again sometime. At the end, he didn't really argue with it. He was like, yeah. And then we parted ways. And now I have not heard from him at all. He's ignored me completely.
All right. All right. Well, we have him on hold. We're going to talk to him. You'll be able to hear the conversation, but we won't be able to hear you. And then we'll conference everybody together, and we'll see if we can sort this out no matter what he says. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Putting Megan on hold. It's the second date update. Parker, are you there?
Hey, yeah, I'm here.
Hello, Parker. My name's Gavin, and that is Katie. We are the Wake Up Call on 106.5 The End, and you're on something called the Second Date Update. We just got done talking to a girl named Megan that you went on a first date with. Do you remember? You remember her, right?
Yeah.
Great. So she wants to know, why don't you want a second date? Or do you want a second date? Because your communication style has been cold, to say the least. So let's start there. Do you want a second date with Megan?
Look, Megan was cool. She just, I don't know, man. It just was weird because she had, braces, and she's, really skinny, which is fine, but she's just kind of, she just kind of felt like a child to me, and I don't know. I couldn't get into it.
What is he saying?
He said that she has... So is that the only thing? Is it her physique, or is it the braces?
It was kind of both, to be honest with you guys. I don't know. It's just like the pair of the two. It just felt like I was like with... Like, I don't know, I just felt like a little kid. It was just weird. I don't know.
Now, you guys met online?
Yes.
Okay, and so was it the kind of thing where in her pictures she's doing a closed mouth smile?
I didn't notice she had the braces.
Okay, so the braces must be relatively new?
Maybe, I don't know. I wasn't attracted to her.
You weren't attracted to her because she... Okay, or let's get Megan back on. Megan, are you there?
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I am.
So, there's your answer. It's kind of, for some reason, it feels weird, but he's just not attracted to you.
Is it that you're not attracted to her, or is it that the braces are throwing you off?
I think it's the braces.
They are kind of new, and I guess I didn't put them in my profile picture. Because, you know, I made that profile well before I got the braces, and I just didn't want to change it.
Well, Megan, are these just, like, very normal, typical braces, like when you picture braces?
As opposed to what?
I don't know. Some sort of hideous hardware that's, like, hanging out of her mouth or something?
No. I mean, they're standard.
They're standard normal braces. So, Parker, you like her personality, but you can't get past braces, which are temporary. She's not going to live with these for the rest of her life.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like it's scarred into my mind right now.
It's scarred into the mind?
Okay, so this whole thing is about the braces and me looking younger because of it. And you're like fantasizing about just a different woman?
I think that he's saying that you look too young.
But I look like myself in the photos.
I mean, that's
the braces.
That's true. How much longer do you have the braces?
I think they said about 6 months.
This is crazy.
Wait, 6 more months?
How long do you think people wear braces for?
Yeah, I was actually shocked that it was only 6 months if they're like relatively new. Usually it's like a year at least.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I have had them for 5 or 6 months, but I made the profile like, I don't know, 8 months ago.
She looks exactly like she did in the pictures in the profile. Add in braces, and now all of a sudden, like, she's just an unattractive person. Like, it's literally, like, a temporary
nonsense to make her look better. Like, it's not like she dyed her hair blue.
Right. It feels like this is a cover for something more serious that you just don't want to say.
Yes, it does. It sounds like you really actually weren't that into her, and you're just trying to find a reason.
I just was surprised. I'm sorry.
Well, okay. All right. So crazy. But anyway, though, it's not going to be a second date. Parker can't get over it. So I apologize for that.
You know what? It's okay. I'm actually kind of glad that I know this.
Yeah.
Because I know I don't want to be with that type of person.
All right. Well, it's a second date update on The Wake Up Call.
106.5 The End.
The Wake Up Call.
With technology is a frustration that every single one of us has felt at one point in our life, and it is really starting to affect Katie. Katie, what is the problem?
I'm trying to do my due diligence.
Okay.
I am somebody that does not, like, you know, you always have to have, like, zero texts, right?
Yeah, the red dots
bothers you. Okay. I am not that person.
Yeah, I saw that.
I can live very happily with, like, 25 unread text messages.
Oh, my God.
It says 93 unread emails.
Oh, my.
And 782 unlistened to voicemails.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So
those were all people who tried to love you.
Well, or Walgreens. And so I went to lunch with Dr. House yesterday, and he's like, why do you have so many unread text messages?
Great question, Dr. House.
So I thought yesterday I had some time. I'm just going to go through. Most of them were things that it was like, I'm going to get back to this, or I don't need to know that my DoorDash was dropped off.
Oh.
You know, so clearing it out. It chronically tells me I have 2 text messages. There are no more unread text messages, and it's driving me crazy.
See?
See what?
That's how I feel all the time about having the red dot, because I know what you're talking about, and it drives me bonkers too. Because every once in a while, it'll glitch, and it does this. It does it on your text messages. It occasionally does it on your voicemail, but it also does it on Instagram when it says you have a DM when you don't have a DM. And I know you don't clear out your DMs
either.
Not
even close.
But, like, that drives me nuts when this glitch happens, because then I go on some sort of weird Where's Waldo.
That's I have gone through every single text that I have 5 times.
Yeah, right.
And I used to have my, because I used to have a phone with like less storage. So I used to have my text blown out after 30 days automatically.
Yeah.
I have a phone with bigger storage now. So I turned that off. The other reason was like somebody would tell me I was wrong about something and I couldn't go back and find the text. And that was very frustrating.
Right.
So I had a million texts to go through. And I can't,
Kevin, you used to work for something, Apple, right?
Apple, yeah.
What is this glitch?
Maybe you missed a message.
I just told you I did.
She didn't.
Did you try the filter?
What's that
the filter?
Mean?
There's a filter option at the top right corner of your messages.
Okay.
What? If you click on that, you can select unread messages.
Okay, I don't have that.
Are you sure? I don't think what you're saying is accurate.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure.
Where?
You have to enable it, though. So go to your settings.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. All right.
Go to messages.
Yeah, I'm there.
All right.
You're there already?
Yeah, because I was trying to troubleshoot it again.
I can't find my messages. And then go to message filtering.
Message. That is.
I don't even
know.
That's
not an option.
Are you kidding me?
You're just making stuff up.
Right here. Filter unknown senders.
What?
Message filtering, filter
and
unknown
I'm in
mess.
Oh, I'm in notifications. My bad.
Oh boy. Oh god.
You said you were trying to troubleshoot it. And then now there's a 3-dot at your top right, and then you just go select messages.
Oh god.
When's the last time you updated your phone?
I checked for an update. There's no update.
All right.
Like,
I don't know, but this is a relatable problem, and it drives me crazy, too. But here's the thing. Why is it driving you crazy? Because you're a red dot kind of girly.
Because I took the time. Because okay. I took the time.
This is an effort
to
thing.
Try yeah. to fix it. And it's like, well, what was the point?
Yeah.
Keep it on 25.
Right.
What difference does it make?
Just to get rid of the 5, and I still have a 2.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
I can't even find what you're talking about, Kevin.
Oh, I'll troubleshoot it later.
All right. Well, I mean, my heart goes out to you, Katie. That's a tough one, you know?
Thank you. I mean, hands across America, please.
Next thing maybe you should try to do is go through those DMs on Instagram.
I can't.
Listeners, they want to talk to you.
Yeah,
you know what? You know what I forget? I forget that there are 2 places on Instagram that somebody could message you, yeah. And you have to go into, like, requests and then request, like, let people talk to you. And it's like, how come some people can just DM me and then other people I have to say, yes, you can DM me?
I think because they've been approved already. Like, if it's somebody that you've ever talked to before, once maybe.
No way.
I think it just automatically comes through. But if it's a brand new person, it goes into requests. Pretty sure about that one.
This is a full-time job.
It is a full-time job. You know, maintaining an iPhone is a full-time job. Maybe the Android people do have it right. Nah.
Hey, listen to me.
You're wild. 106.5
The End. She's confident.
If it makes you feel better.
Stop talking to me.
She's cocky.
That's a dumb question.
She thinks she's smarter than you.
I am not smarter than Katie.
It's Are You Smarter Than Katie?
Brought to you by American Furniture Galleries.
That's right, and it is time for us to play the world-famous game, Are You Smarter Than Katie? Ba-ba-da-da-da, ba-ba-ba-da-da. Had to take a break from it yesterday, but we are back with a vengeance, and we are talking to Crystal this morning. Good morning, Crystal.
Good morning.
Congratulations on being caller 17. And Katie has amassed a jackpot of $400. And we are going to play, we'll see how many you get right, how many she gets right in a game of pop culture, news and pop culture trivia questions. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Question one, huge news in the Taylor Swift world. She's releasing a new album, and it's called The Life of a Showgirl, and it'll be out on October 13th. She announced it on her boyfriend Travis Kelce's podcast. What number is this album for Taylor? 11th, 12th, or 13th?
12.
Okay. Question two. President Trump announced yesterday that he's deploying the National Guard to have a military takeover of Washington, D.C. because, quote, crime has gotten so out of control. However, crime by every metric has been going down. How many senators does Washington, D.C. have representing them?
Two.
Question three, remember when we couldn't get enough of the love triangle of Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston, and Angelina Jolie? Well, that whole thing might have been just a lie. Jennifer Aniston said in an interview that it was nothing more than juicy reading for people, and she did take it personally, by the way. True or false, Brad and Jen were married?
I'm going to say true.
Question four, Joe Jonas was doing a concert in New Jersey and invited his ex-girlfriend Demi Lovato on stage to perform two songs with him, and the two were so powerful together that it went viral. What Disney Channel movie did the two of them do together? Was it High School Musical, Teen Beach, or Camp Rock?
Camp Rock.
And question four, Machine Gun Kelly was on Watch What Happens Live and asked if it was true that he doesn't know how old he is. He said it is, and he doesn't know much about his life. Okay, I'm not sure why he's never Googled it, because it's on Google. Machine Gun Kelly was born on April 22nd, 1990. So how old is he?
35.
All right. Can you bring Katie back in here for me? Crystal, what do you do for a living?
I'm a social studies teacher.
Oh, cool. High school or middle school?
Middle school.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
You're a saint.
Which middle school do you work at?
I actually work in Vallejo.
Vallejo. So,
yeah.
All right.
What's the name? Do you want to say the name of the school?
Yeah, Changemakers Academy.
Changemakers Academy, home of the fighting.
Coin stars.
Coin stars?
Yeah.
So they're coin star machines? Like,
yeah, because they make change.
Okay. Oh, I love you. Oh, I get it. You know what?
Thank you.
All right. Now, Crystal, now you have to beat 6 points. Crystal, I'm going to put you on hold. All right, here we go. Question one. I'm sure you saw the huge Taylor Swift news.
Yeah.
I'll bet you're very excited. She's releasing a new album. It's called The Life of a Showgirl. It's we don't even have to wait that long. October 13th it comes out.
Oh, it doesn't come out October 13th.
Oh, it doesn't?
That is when the physical copies are being shipped out. So it might come out earlier than that.
Oh.
The release date, I don't think, unless something has changed since I woke up this morning.
Okay. Maybe you know more. It just says here, set for an October 13th, 2025 release. But maybe you're right. That's just when the things come out. But she announced it on her boyfriend's podcast. That's cute.
I know.
What number is this album for Taylor? Is
the 12th.
Oh, wow. She didn't even need multiple choice. What a Swiftie.
Yeah.
Question two, President Trump announced yesterday that he's deploying the National Guard to have a military takeover of Washington, D.C. because crime has gotten so out of control. However, experts were quick to say by every metric, crime has gone down. How many senators does Washington, D.C. have to represent them?
Zero.
That is correct. Taxation without representation.
They're not a state.
By the way, I thought we learned that only the Speaker of the House could deploy the National Guard to D.C.?
Well, no.
Didn't he try to say that?
Well, that's what he said during January
6th. I see.
Right. That doesn't make any sense.
Question three. Remember when we couldn't get enough of that love triangle of Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston, and Angelina Jolie?
Yes.
All right. Well, according to Jennifer Aniston, that was pretty much a lie. She said it was nothing more than, quote, juicy reading for people.
Interesting.
But she said that the exposure to it and the paparazzi response, she took that very personally.
Oh, I don't blame her.
True or false, Brad and Jen were married.
True.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Really?
I thought they were just dating.
No. Remember when she was on Friends and they... right after their wedding, everybody during the opening credits changed their last name to Pitt.
Really?
Yeah. So it was like, instead of Courtney Cox, it said Courtney Pitt. Instead of David Schwimmer, it said David Pitt.
What? Okay. Question four. Joe Jonas was doing a concert in New Jersey. Did you see this clip? And he invited ex-girlfriend Demi Lovato on stage to perform. They performed two songs.
Okay.
And they killed it.
Really?
Listen, Demi Lovato is a cuckoo LaRue person.
Yeah, she's Looney Tunes.
But man, the two of them both sounded incredible.
I'll look it up.
What Disney Channel movie did they do together?
Camp Rock?
Wow.
Are you going to give me multiple choice?
I was.
Oh,
you didn't need
don't need it.
Holy cow. Question five. Machine Gun Kelly, your favorite Machine Gun, was on Watch What Happens Live, and he was asked if it was true that he doesn't know how old he is, and he said it is true he doesn't know how old he is because he doesn't know much about his life. All right, well, I Googled it. It's on Google. He was born, MGK, we know you listen. You were born on April 22nd, 1990.
What if we found out that Machine Gun Kelly was listening to this show? I would love it.
I'd love it, too.
I'd be like, you know what? Maybe you're not so bad after all.
Again, April 22nd, 1990. So how old is he? Three seconds. Three.
35?
Two. Yeah.
Oh.
All right, Michelle, representing all of the Fighting Coin Stars. Final score, you got four, but Katie got all five.
Woo!
Technically six, just because she made that really funny joke. Crystal, unfortunately, Katie wins. So what is it that you're going to tell us?
I'm not smarter than Katie.
Not today, but thank you so much for playing. We appreciate you listening. We had $20 the jackpot tomorrow for $420.
106.5 The End.
The Wake Up Call.
We want to know if your parents' opinion matters in your relationship or a new relationship. 916-909-1065. 909-1065. Call or text us at that number and be part of this conversation. And we're getting into this because Sarah Jessica Parker was on Watch What Happens Live, and she was asked about a relationship rumor that she dated Nicolas Cage back in the day. And this is what she said.
Follow-up question.
Yes.
Did you date Nick Cage?
Yes, I did.
Oh, wow.
And that was it. She just confirmed it. Then, of course, somebody then followed up with Nicolas Cage and said, she said that you dated. And he goes, yeah, we did. And they said, well, why didn't that work out? And he said, her mom hated me.
Oh.
They went out apparently even on a dinner with the three of them. And she and Nicolas Cage tried to win Sarah Jessica Parker's mother over. And it went horrible.
I bet it's hard for most parents to meet Nicolas Cage if your daughter is dating him.
Right.
And have that be a pleasant experience.
I would guess that's probably true. The man owns a T-Rex skull.
Yeah. And he's just weird.
He is kind of a weird guy. But we want to know, is the mom test a real thing? And would you end a relationship because of it? 916-909-1065. Text message that we got in. My parents will never have an impact. When I die, my tombstone will say, in loving memory of me. 909-1065. Let's talk to Amanda. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
So what do you want to say about the mom test or the dad test, actually?
Actually, for me, it's my mom. My husband and I have been together for 22 years. And about 9 years ago or so, me and my mom had a falling out.
Ooh.
And we, because of my husband, she didn't like my husband. She felt he was controlling and everything. And she basically, I disowned her because she did some really shady stuff. And due to her not liking my husband. So we didn't talk for 7 years until my husband, my grandma passed away about a year ago. And then we started talking again, and she loved my husband and said sorry to him. And then, unfortunately, my mom passed away in February.
Oh, my God. Well, thank God everybody worked it all out before you guys lost her. But 7 years just for her to turn around and be like, my bad.
Well, sometimes, absence makes the heart grow fonder, and you find that, when silence happens, it fills a room and it makes you lonely and you really miss the people. Is this worth it? Is this fight worth it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you, we'll get to some more phone calls in a second. The mom test is big with me.
Yeah.
I'm a mama's boy. I'll fully admit that. I love my mom so much.
Yeah.
And her opinion of every girl I've ever dated mattered.
Hmm.
And my dad...
Now, what if her opinion to you was unfounded? What if she just decided she didn't like somebody? This doesn't sound like her, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If she was just like, I just don't like her, but she didn't have any reason, would that be enough?
I would probably trust my mom. I trust my mom's opinion on almost everything.
Yeah.
So, I don't think she would steer me wrong from that. And there are some girls that I dated that she met that she's like, nah.
Huh.
You can do better. I want to know what you would do in a second, because you are a daddy's girl, too, right?
Not really.
All right.
I would care about my mom's opinion more than my dad's opinion.
So.
Because my dad can kind of find a reason to hate anybody.
Has it?
Am I wrong?
As dads sometimes do.
Right.
So does a parent test or a mom test matter for you with relationships?
Here's the funny thing. I don't think it does. I'd be super disappointed if my mom didn't like my boyfriend. Fortunately, she loves him. But you know what?
What?
I sure hope my daughters care what I think about the people that they date.
What if they don't? would you value their independence, or would you feel really hurt by that?
I think it would depend on the severity of how much I don't like the person that they're with.
Yeah.
If they are with somebody that I think is truly bad for them, that would be really tough.
916-909-1065 to be part of this conversation. Let's talk to Brittany. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning.
So we're talking about passing the mom test or the dad test, the parent test for a new relationship. Does it affect you in relationships that you've had?
Totally. Yes, it does.
And how so?
I guess I'm really close with my family. And so if I had, anybody who come in the way of that, that's kind of weird, to be just some random person I met and I want to introduce my family and they don't like him. And I'm like, I'm going to choose him over my family. That's kind of weird to me.
I get what you're saying.
That makes a lot of sense. This person's brand new.
But also, I trust my parents a lot more about opinions than mine, you know? So especially, there's been some guys I've brought, and my mom's like, I don't really like this guy. And I'm like, no, Mom, I promise he's so sweet, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, turns out she was right.
See, that's the thing.
I hope my girls are listening.
They almost always are. Thanks so much.
Always.
Thanks so much for the phone call.
106.5 The End.
The Wake Up Call.
So, if you've listened to the show for a while, you probably know who Phoebe is. And if you haven't, then I'm very happy to tell you who Phoebe was. Phoebe
is.
Phoebe is my daughter. And it was 10 years ago today that she was stillborn. And she was stillborn at 41 weeks.
So that's a week past full term.
Yeah. So everything in that pregnancy was perfect. And we went in on her due date for an appointment, and everything was fine. And then we went home. Our doctor was like, okay, so we're going to have another appointment about 5 days from now. And after that, we're going to talk about maybe inducing you. And we're like, okay, great. and we went home. And then sometime in between that appointment and the next appointment, she passed away. And we weren't exactly sure when it happened, but...
Because you showed up to that appointment 5 days later.
Thinking everything was fine.
Right.
And it was 10 years ago today that she was born. And, I mean, easily the worst day of my life.
Without question.
And then we went on the air 3 or 4 days yeah. later after that.
Maybe 4 days.
And my wife, Stacy, came on with me and we told everybody what happened. And for anybody who still remembers that, thank you. We still have people who come up to us and say, I remember exactly where I was mm-hmm. when you guys came on and told us. And I think that I was very unprepared for how hard today is.
So when we got here, we got in the elevator, I said, how you doing? And you were having a pretty hard time.
Yeah.
Now, why do you think, well, let's talk about the last couple birthdays.
I think I handled them fine.
You definitely weren't as emotional as you are today.
I was, you always get sad.
No, you were sad, sure. But I think it was a little more celebratory, where today, this year, feels more somber.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is?
I think because 10's a big one.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was about like maybe, well, not a week ago, but it was at school pickup. And I saw somebody that I know. That kid is 10 years old. It was a little girl who's 10 years old. And I saw her at school pickup and I don't talk to them. But I know she was born like a month after Phoebe was. And just seeing like 10-year-old girls run around.
Yeah.
Is really hard. I guess because like between like a 7 and 10, there doesn't seem to be that much of a difference.
Yeah.
You know, but like 10, it's like she would have been so big.
Yeah.
She would have been like her own person.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's part of it. And I think I'm like coming to terms also with the fact that like, I don't think that I ever like dealt with, I don't think I ever realized how much my daughter's death screwed me up.
Really?
I
think it made you a better person in a lot of different ways. I think it made you a certainly more empathetic, softer person.
Yeah. In some ways it did. And I think in other ways, that sounds bad. It sounds like I'm blaming her. I'm not.
No,
you know,
it doesn't sound like that.
But I do feel like. There are just like things sometimes where like I don't know if I can trace it back to that, but realizing I was just talking to later on in the show, we're going to have another couple on that had just more recently had a stillborn, and they created a foundation just like my wife and I did. And you know, they're going to be on after 9 o'clock. And I was telling them that like, It's a grief is really, really difficult to talk about, especially when it was like as sudden as it was for us. And it's a really sad thing. I think I'm a sadder person than I realized.
Okay.
And I think like knowing that like the happiest day of your life is behind you, because a lot of people like you can always say like, man, today was like a really happy day. I'm really happy. But to know that, like, you don't know what the future brings, like, you might be at, like, your kid's graduation.
You definitely hold a lot more fear than you used to. You used to be a lot more of a, what are the odds that that's going to happen to you person? And now I think that you really have a lot of fear because, like, when Abby was born with half a heart,
yeah.
It was like you realized literally anything could happen to any person.
Right.
And some stuff you didn't even no was a thing could happen to you. And so I think you are more fearful.
I definitely am more fearful. I have a lot more anxiety. But like, you know, your phone haunts you by showing you like a timeline, you know, and stuff like that. Remember on this day?
Yeah.
For people like me, that's like, it's so sad sometimes when it just shows up out of nowhere as a notification and it's a picture of you holding somebody that's not alive anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And like one day it was my daughter Phoebe's gender reveal party, which you were at. And it was a video, and I watched that video. And our son is 3, and it was the happiest day of my life, finding out that she was a girl, mm-hmm. and it was just going to be amazing. And now, like, I just know that, like, no matter what happens in the future, no matter how happy a moment it is, she's not here.
Right.
And I would think I was always kind of a heavy-hearted guy, but I just feel like I haven't dealt with how heavy it has made my heart. And
how do you feel like your wife is doing today?
I think she does. I think she's doing okay. I think she's doing better than me, which is how grief works.
Yeah.
You know, you take turns.
Yeah.
Being the
sad one.
The sad one.
How are your kids handling it?
Phoebe's very much a part of our family.
Yes.
And our kids are very aware of who she is. When they see a Phoebe bird, all of our kids are there. Hi, Phoebe.
Yeah. I think we all do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even to the point where it confuses like our 6-year-old and she's like, wait, was she a bird?
My kids have said the same thing. My kids have said, like, until they were old enough to figure it out, they'd be like, so she was a bird?
Yeah.
It's like, no. A little more complex.
By the way, if you're just joining us, today's the 10. Today would have been my daughter who passed away's 10th birthday today.
You know what a lot of people don't know is that you guys, long before you ever got pregnant, even with Connor,
mm-hmm.
had the name Phoebe picked out.
Yeah.
You were always going to have a daughter named Phoebe. And I feel like it's so great that she got that special name because she's so special.
Yeah.
And she really is. Like, there's something about this. We always say she's so powerful for being just a baby.
Right.
So you were saying your kids...
I think they handle it pretty well. I know that my son, Connor... who's also kind of like a sensitive, heavy-hearted guy. He feels it. The older he gets, he's feeling it more.
Sure.
And he's realizing like, oh, I have a sibling that I don't like have.
Yeah.
And he sees how sad it makes me. Like when we were just recently down at Disneyland, there's a parade going on called Paint the Night. And it means a lot to me because that was the parade that was there at Disneyland 10 years ago when we brought Connor when he was 3 and Phoebe was still alive. And it was this like awesome night, like just watching this parade. So they brought it back and we're watching it. And I'm really sad watching it. This is back in June. And my son, Connor, came up and put his arm around me.
Yeah.
So, and he was crying too.
Oh.
So like he gets it, you know? So
do you ever worry that your, that Theo, who's 9, right?
He'll be 9 soon.
Okay. And then Zoe, your daughter, you know, they came after Phoebe.
Yeah.
Do you ever worry that they will think, well, the only reason I'm here is because my sister died?
So before we had them, we had, when we were still fresh in our grief, we had a friend of ours come over. His name was Rob, and he was a family friend, and we didn't know this about him, but he came over and he told us that he is a rainbow baby, which is any baby you have after you lose a baby, because it's the rainbows, the beauty you have after the storm. And he said that he gives his sister, who died, credit for his life.
Sure.
So, I mean, I hope that like my kids don't think about it like that, but it is a really weird and really hard thought to process that like even if I had a genie here and the genie's like, I can grant any wish. What wish do you want? Like, do you want to go back in time? Like, if you could go back in time and prevent Phoebe's death from happening, would you? It's so hard for me to say, like, no.
Right.
Because I know for a fact we would not have Theo and Zoe.
Right.
If we had Phoebe.
Right.
And that F's my head up.
Like, is no way for the human brain to process that.
Yeah.
Like.
So.
I mean, I always say everything doesn't happen for a reason, but every person has a purpose. And Phoebe's purpose has done a lot, including, you know, we're hoping to bring it back, but Phoebe's flight, which was a 5K that you would put on and invite anybody who had a pregnancy loss or an infant loss. And it's one of the only places where, I think there's March of Dimes, but where, like, you can come and bring your baby's picture and you're with other people that have had this terrible experience and it's this awful club, but then you also see all these rainbow babies, which is giving other families who still haven't had their rainbow baby hope. And I mean, none of that would exist without Phoebe either.
Yeah, that's true. I hope we can bring that back too as well. So anyway, we'll end it on this. Because today would have been Phoebe's 10th birthday, we have a tradition where if you want to have a root beer float for her, do it. Because that was my wife's number one pregnancy for her. So we always pregnancy craving. Sorry. We always had this assumption that, like, that was Phoebe's favorite food.
Yes, so I believe it.
She had a sweet tooth and she loved root beer floats. So if you do, have a root beer float. Treat yourself to a root beer float today. And also, if you want to post a picture of it and tag any of us.
We love reposting.
Yeah, I would love to see it and repost it as well. So anyway, thank you for listening. And for anybody who still holds in their heart the memory of her from 10 years ago when we came on and my wife and I told you about what happened. Thank you for letting us be so important for you, for making a memory that has lasted 10 years.
106.5 The End.
The Wake Up Call.
Preseason for the NFL has started, and I, for one, am very excited to see football back on TV. However, why is Michael Phelps getting involved in football? The Olympic winner, 23 Olympic gold winner, Michael Phelps, has been seen with the Baltimore Ravens quite a bit. What's going on here? Well, the reason why is because the Baltimore Ravens are using Michael Phelps to give them swim lessons.
Do they even need to swim?
No, not for football.
Not for football, but do they not know how to swim?
That's the reason why, according to this article, a third of the team cannot swim.
Oh my God.
And Michael Phelps found out about this, and he is a lifelong Ravens fan.
Oh, he is. Okay, so that's how this is all coming. Because I was thinking to myself, like, it does seem like they don't need to go all the way out of their way to get Michael freaking Phelps. Like, you probably could just get Miss Shannon to come.
Right.
Or whoever. And be like, okay, who's a frog? Who's
right.
a frog?
Yeah.
Who's a minnow? Where are my starfish?
Climb on me like a backpack.
Right?
Like a backpack.
Okay, now, okay, straight arms, straight legs, and kick.
So they, it started off kind of playful, and they reached out to Phelps, and Phelps is like all about it. And he's going to start giving the Baltimore Ravens football team swim lessons.
I cannot tell you how much I love this.
It's adorable.
It is adorable. God, please let this be filmed.
Yeah.
Because I want to see these big, strong men first of all, walk into the shallow end, arms a little bit up, right? Kind of like your forearms are by your nipples because, whoo, it's cold.
It's cold in the morning.
Whew.
Yeah.
Whew. Okay. We got a coach. Mm-hmm. It's okay. And then what a great team building activity.
I agree with that for
Imagine
sure.
Imagine they each get little kickboards.
Yeah. Well, know? They would have to if they're going to learn how to swim. Yeah. That's all part of it.
Hold on to the side.
Right.
Hold on to the side. Okay. Now kick. Kick. Big splashes.
All I need to see is you get to the side.
Right.
That's all I need to see today.
And then I hope that they get the same reinforcement, like, when they do it. Like, you did it!
We talked about this. No goggles today.
Okay. Gonna it's going to be okay.
We're gonna try no
it
goggles.
It feels like it burns. It's just the water.
Especially because, you know, obviously, football players are so big and strong.
Yeah.
Okay? And watching them, especially linemen, when you're talking about guys that are like 330 pounds and like almost 7 feet tall, because not knowing how to swim is like the great equalizer.
Oh.
Because when you can't swim, you flail around all the same, no matter how athletic you are or anything like that.
That's so true.
And watching these big guys in a pool where they maybe they haven't been in a pool since they were like 5 years old
and
or something
funny,
like
they
that.
Probably most of them have pools.
At the very least, they could touch.
Right.
You know? This is such a funny story. It makes me wish that, like, they also would do this with other football teams, not just swim lessons, but find out, like, hey, guys, what's something that most of us don't know how to do?
Ice skating? Let's do it.
Right.
And then just them on the ice. Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We're going to get Nancy Kerrigan in here, and she's going to teach us all how to ice skate.
Swing dancing?
Oh, my God. Even something that's not necessarily, like, super physical. Like, does anybody here not know how to cook? We're all going to do cooking lessons together.
I wish that this was the team building activity that our company had done.
Yes, that would have been
now,
so fun.
Thankfully, we no longer have to do this anymore. You guys are welcome.
Right.
But we used to have to do field day where we would go out and we'd have to compete against one another in, you know, field day activities. Hold the egg on the spoon.
Mm-hmm. Giant Jenga.
Unfortunately, tug of war. Okay.
Right. Well, we have to talk about what happened.
I was the very first person in the very first group for the very first event at field day. And I broke my hand.
She broke her hand during tug of war. And she wasn't the only person who did break their hand
like
during tug of war.
One other person hurt themselves. Yeah. But at the exact same time that I broke my hand, somebody else broke their hand.
Right.
He was on the other side of the rope.
Yeah. Because you know what you're not going to do in a swim lesson? Break your hand.
You could
swallow water.
Well, you could.
But I'd like to think they're going to keep them on the shallow end.
I mean, listen. If a four-year-old can take a swim lesson,
that's a great point.
Successfully without swallowing too much water,
yeah, that's a good point.
Then so can the guard of the offensive line.
Okay, now do we start them with like little floaties?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it just the water wing kind that go on your arms, or is the whole one that straps around your chest?
No. It's the one that start on your arms, like the old school ones,
okay,
because they don't make ones big enough for the chest.
Right.
But they absolutely have to have little raven mascots on either side.
Yes.
And they have to call them your wings.
Oh, your water wings.
106.5 The End.
The Wake Up Call.
So today is the 10th anniversary of my daughter Phoebe's loss. 10 years ago today, she was stillborn at 41 weeks. And I actually have been struggling with this more than I thought I would in the past. But one thing, though, that I never wanted to not do anymore is support charities that know exactly what this is like. They have also suffered stillborns. And I'm here with Cy and Jazzy. Cy is one of the managers over at Set Point. And you guys, unfortunately, lost your son, Riggins. And just like what me and my wife did, you took your grief and your pain and you are funneling it through something positive to help other couples. And you made the Riggins Ross Foundation, and you have a big event coming up.
We do. A little bit about what you were saying is turning pain into purpose. And so we started the Riggins Ross Foundation, and we were like, what can we do to not only alleviate financial burdens for families walking through this? Because as you know, medical expenses, burial costs, celebration of life costs, they just get out of control very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And so we don't want any parent, we don't believe any parent should have to choose between dignity and debt. And so that's where the Riggins Ross Foundation steps in. And so upcoming on September 5th, we have our first annual event, the Sippin' and Tossin' Cornhole Classic. That name comes from kind of a cool moment we had in our celebration of life with my dad. And he always has had a Coke with all his grandkids. And so because he doesn't get to share a Coke with Riggins, we all crack them at the same time at the celebration of life. And so that's where the sipping comes in, sipping a Coke with Riggs. And so we're going to sip some Coke and throw some bean bags to support an amazing foundation that's here just all about to give back to families that are walking through stillborn and infant loss.
So, okay, so the event is September 5th. You can register for it by going to RigginsRossFoundation.org. That's Riggins, R-I-G-G-I-N-S, RossFoundation.org. You know, it's interesting that you guys had the same outlook that we did. You know, when we lost Phoebe, I remember thinking, we were sitting in the hospital room still, and we were, my wife and I, saying like, what can we do to make sure this never happens to anybody else? And the truth is, you can't.
Yeah.
And then we were like, so what can we do to help other people? And that was followed with the thought like, well, you can't. Like, I remember thinking that, like, there's nothing you can do for, like, it's done. It's not like it's somebody diagnosed with cancer and you can help them fight it or something like that. Like, the worst thing that could happen has happened.
Yep.
But I love that you guys came up with the idea of just helping alleviate costs for people who've had stillborns. Jazzy, where did this idea come from?
Actually, it was mainly Cy's idea. Cy's very outgoing, and he actually did the same thing. He was in the hospital and he was like, I want to make this like a purpose. Like, how can we move forward without moving forward? Just to be able to talk to people that know what this is like has been super important to us.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Cy and Jazzy, and they lost their son, Riggins, the same way that I lost my daughter, Phoebe, 10 years ago today. And they also, just like me and my wife, turned their grief into growth. And they made the Riggins Ross Foundation, which is having a big event, raising money for them on September 5th. So how are you guys doing?
That's a question we get a lot. And so sometimes the answer is we're doing pretty good. Sometimes the answer is it's been a rough week. Yeah. An answer that I go back to.
Sometimes the answer is just not good right now.
Yeah, exactly. Not good right now. So the answer I go back to a lot is we're learning just how to live with a limp. Like every day, I feel like there's something new, whether it's I just had my birthday like that. We expected to have a little one with us. 4th of July. We expect to have a little one with us. Yeah. We just celebrated our 1 year yesterday. We expected to have Riggs with us. And so it just is like something new almost every day or every week of. We have to learn to live. And what are we going to do to honor him through these moments? Because he's supposed to be with us, but he's not. And so I think that's been the hardest, but most like just it just helps us grieve.
I appreciate what you guys are doing. And you've started the Riggins Ross Foundation. And you're raising money for parents who've had stillborns just like us. And it's great. So thank you so much. September 5th is the event, and it's, what's it called again?
Sippin' and Tossin's the Cornhole Classic.
The Cornhole Classic. And which, by the way, who knew Cornhole had so many rules? It makes it so much better, but it really, anyway, though. You can register for the event at RigginsRossFoundation.org. Please go. Please make a donation if you can't go to a really good cause. Thank you guys for coming in. That is it. That is the full show. We did it.
Was it good for you?
Music free, limited commercials. That's wake up call concentrate, as they say on BetterHelp.com. That's what they call it. It was all brought to you by BetterHelp.com. Yeah. I'm just trying to piece it all together.
Mix it in.
Online therapy. Try it because you need it. Everybody does. Online therapy, BetterHelp.com/wakeupcall. That'll get you 10% off. BetterHelp.com/wakeupcall. And again, thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We appreciate it.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.